Wonderful words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak. Heavenly Father, speak through your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We had a weather change on Wednesday evening. You remember it. It was a mighty rushing wind. It was still hot that day, practically in the 90s, maybe even higher than that. It was still certainly there as I arrived home at about 5:15 to an increasingly darkening sky as a fast-moving storm was moving in. Fiona and Grady were there, and they wanted to play in the yard. They always want to play in the yard, which they did as the breeze increased. Fiona was on the little motorized John Deere tractor, and Grady was pushing his very authentic-looking toy Husqvarna lawnmower, and their play was shortened by a loud crack of thunder. Fiona made that little tractor fly as she beat for the garage. Fortunately, I just charged it. Grady simply left his mower and beat for his papa. And the breeze became wind. And the wind became a roar as it tore through the woods behind our house. You have a whole different idea about wind when you live next to a woods. The woods actually protects you from the wind, but boy, can you hear it. We got into the house as the sky opened out up with a very brief but violent shower. As we looked out of the windows and saw the trees bending in the gale, I wondered if I should take the kids and get to the basement. It was like that. But just like that, the storm was past and the wind practically died away. And I was able to get the slightly frightened kids peeled off of me enough to get them supper, since I needed to be at prayer meeting in less than 90 minutes. Since I didn't get back inside, get back outside of the house until I left for prayer meeting, I had no idea how much the temperature had dropped. As I walked into the church building, I was wondering if I should have worn a jacket. Wow, what a difference just 2 hours made. It was a fresh wind. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's a day of celebrating the arrival of the Holy Spirit in a new and glorious way on that first Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Jesus rose from the garden tomb and the people of God were about to be transformed by a fresh wind and fire from heaven. That fresh wind and fire continues to be available to God's people today. The church needs it. We need it. So let's look at it and remind ourselves how the Holy Spirit arrived and how we can invite him to continue in our lives and in our ministry. We're going to pick up in the midst of the 10 days between what Joel preached about last week, the ascension of Jesus to the Heavenly Father, to sit at the right hand of the Father, and those 10 days, and the day of Pentecost, 10 days hence, which we celebrate today. The disciples returned from the Ascension Mountaintop experience, and they were waiting, and they were meeting, and they were replacing, and they were praying. And just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he had told his followers to stay put in Jerusalem. Acts 1 says that they were to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So they did just that. They took him at his promise. Later in Acts 1, we read, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. In other words, a half mile, a quarter of a mile away. That's how far you could walk on a Sabbath. Okay. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, but not Judas Iscariot. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. My friend Rick Crooks always has a joke for me when he makes sure he carries my groceries out at Hawkins. And he told me yesterday that the disciples drove a Honda because they were together in one accord. And I said, you don't know how appropriate that is for the weekend. So, sorry about that. This is a special day, and I'm just blame Rick when you see him next time. They stayed as they were told, and they waited in Jerusalem. They waited as they were instructed by Jesus. They found a replacement for Judas the betrayer. So the band of original apostles was back up to the full complement of 12. And it says they prayed. They prayed and they prayed. What made their prayer different was that Jesus had promised, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. They knew that there wasn't a single promise that Jesus had not kept. So they were waiting and praying, and they were waiting and praying with expectancy, with expectation. And I'm wondering, do we wait and do we pray with such expectancy? You see, expecting to have results from our prayer takes faith. And I'm wondering, do we have that kind of expectancy? Last week, we were discussing this text, which I used as a board meeting devotional, and someone used the illustration. I can't remember who used it, but they used the illustration of a farm community that was in the midst of a drought. And as the crops withered, a prayer meeting was called to be held in the town square. And as the people gathered, the pastor looked around the farmers who were there and ask them, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Were they not expecting God to answer their prayer for the much needed rains? And they looked at each other and wondered why the preacher was being so hard on them. And then he held up his umbrella. And they realized that he alone had thought to bring an umbrella. He planned to pray with expectancy. And they were just going through the motions. Today on Pentecost Sunday, let's make sure that we look with expectancy to the Holy Spirit for his fresh wind. That those songs, there's incredibly appropriate songs that Jason and Lydia chose, aren't just something we're singing, that we're not just going through the motions, that we look with expectancy to the Holy Spirit for his fresh wind. Because that fresh wind didn't happen just then. It happens all the time. The fresh wind keeps blowing. He doesn't go stale. So let's look at Acts 2 and unpack some key passages of it. And I'm going to do it with an alliteration of sound, spirit, and structure. Sound is kind of short, spirit's pretty long, and structure is very short. So first, there was a sound of a rushing wind. I'm going to read to you, this is the most reading we're doing this morning, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. It's a familiar passage, but we need to be reminded over and over again by this scripture. And the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is we find new things every time we read it. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're filled with new wine." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. What was happening was indescribable, but this is the best that human words can do here that we just read. The coming of the Holy Spirit is compared to the sound of mighty wind and the sight of tongues of flame. It was a sound. The shingles didn't fly off, and the curtains didn't flap in the breeze, and the lamps in the room didn't get extinguished. It was the sound of power and might. And that was exactly what was happening. Power and might was arriving and descending on the people of God in a new and wonderful and permanent way. It came along with tongues of fire. Albert Wynn says, "The Spirit is like the wind, uncontrollable, mysterious, powerful, and seen only in his effects." In Hebrew and Greek, the same words both mean wind and spirit. The Spirit is also like the flame, cleansing and consuming, awesome and dangerous. The wind was a fresh new breeze of abundant life. The flames that appeared over each person in that one place were the refining fire that would burn away the old and bring in the new. We need that new breeze. Lord, breathe on us. Breathe on your people. And the Spirit fell. It was amazing. Just 50 days prior to this, these same people had been cowering and hoping that what they heard about Jesus being risen from the grave wasn't some cruel rumor, or worse, a ploy to flush them out to be captured by the ones who had crucified their Lord. They were hoping. Instead, the glorious events that just keep getting better. They had seen Jesus rising into the clouds, and now there was this supernatural work of God who was sending his Holy Spirit as he promised. Notice how the Holy Spirit came to the entire group. They were all together in one place. And the sound filled the entire house where they were staying, and the tongues of fire rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This was a new thing. The Holy Spirit had always been part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit was there at creation. It said, let us create in our image that community. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were always there. The Holy Spirit had always been there. But now the Holy Spirit came permanently rather than the just once and done infillings that had happened in the Old Testament. And it says they all began speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And he gave them all utterance. Wynn points out the gift of tongues here is unique in that everybody heard a different language. They didn't need it because they knew the common language of the empire, which was Koine Greek. And they also knew Aramaic, which was the language of Mesopotamia that was prevalent in Palestine. They knew that. They didn't have to hear it in their own language. But the good news that they heard, after they heard the sound of the rushing wind, the good news wouldn't have been needed in the language of the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and the Mesopotamians and the Judeans and the Cappadocians and the Pontians and the Asians, the Phrygians, the Pamphylians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, the Cyrenians, the Romans. They didn't have to hear it in Latin. The Cretans didn't have to hear it in their own language, or the Arabians. But the Holy Spirit was meeting each and every one of the people in Jerusalem that day on their own terms. And he did that by speaking in their own language. When you're in another country, people appreciate if you try to speak in their own language. It's special to them. If you send a greeting, it's nice to send it in the language of the person. It just shows that you care. This was a really powerful example of God, the Holy Spirit, saying, I care for you. You're going to hear this in your own language. F.B. Meyer says that the fact that everyone heard the good news in their own tongue was a sign of Babel's undoing. Albert Wynn suggests the same thing. He says, the coming of the Holy Spirit was the dawn of a new age when men of all nations would be brought into the people of God. The ancient breach made among men at the Tower of Babel when God confused their language in Genesis 11, 1 through 9 is healed by the gift of the Spirit. Galilean fishermen and housewives and carpenters and common laborers became Spirit-filled preachers sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It was so wild and wonderful that some wet blankets who don't know a good thing when it's right in front of them, and there is always someone like that in every crowd, thought they were drunk. They made fun of them, said, it's new wine. But they were filled with the Spirit rather than with new wine. And Peter was one of the biggest transformations. Just 2 months before, and we know about this, I preach about it every year, we know that 2 months before, Peter was much better at cussing like a sailor. He was a fisherman. He became a preacher. He became a preacher, and he stands up and he stops them with, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. And he continues with an amazing sermon, pulling from holy history and from Scripture, to show that this has been God's plan all along, This is how the Holy Spirit works. Peter's sermon, no less than the tongues, is the Holy Spirit's work. He takes the ordinary utterance of a regular Joe and makes it into a sermon. He makes it into a sermon from a Galilean fisherman, and he makes it the extraordinary work of the Almighty. The Holy Spirit takes our fumbling words and makes it into a powerful message. And that didn't stop on the day of Pentecost, church. It still happens today. It can and will happen for you and I. Charles Erdman says that many persons seem to suppose that Pentecostal power is tested by striking gifts or ability in public speech. But the best proof is found in the daily life of the believer. Just being you as you've been transformed in Christ is the most remarkable picture of the Holy Spirit's work. The fresh wind of the Holy Spirit still blows through all of the people of God. And let me ask you that question again. Are you seeking it with expectancy? Back to Peter's sermon. After he ended that bold proclamation that minced no words, it says in verse 37 that the people, those hearers, were cut to the heart. His words had struck the right nerve, and they knew that change was necessary. And this is because the good news always calls for a decision. And Peter pointed out the need to repent and to be baptized and to leave your corrupt society and enter the Messiah's community. And they did. 3,000 of them, 3,000 people. I think it was Charles Erdman who wrote, "The good news is not told for sentiment or entertainment or to satisfy curiosity. It drives men into a corner where they must either believe and obey this Lord or reject him. After that has happened, life cannot go on as it was." Change happens. And this is what we need to be about today. 2,000 years later, the task is the same for the Spirit-filled people of God. Let's tell the world that God has done something unique and powerful in Jesus Christ, and that humanity cannot ignore it. We need to take sides. Our hearers need to take sides. They need to either accept or reject Jesus. Lord, send your anointing on us as we take the word to the world. Finally, and very quickly, there was a structure change. The structure of a growing body of Christ followers emerged. 12 disciples suddenly became 3,000 disciples and more and more and more. It says at the end that the number kept growing. There was more added to their number. The original 12 were suddenly leading people who didn't know how to serve. They didn't know how to worship. They didn't know how to give. They didn't know how to witness, but they learned quickly. Acts 2 ends with, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The transformation was amazing. People who looked out for number one prior to this now had the priority of others in mind as they were together and had all things in common and were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. It is this that Meyer is referring to when he says, because when we are joined to Christ, we become one with all who are his. When we are joined to Christ, we become one with all who are his. Oh, that we had this kind of unity in the church today. We have it here, but we need to be infectious to spread unity around the world. Satan is driving dividers into the church. Don't let him do that. Don't let him do that to us. Don't let him do that to the people that you know. Let's be unifying people. Let the Holy Spirit work through us. We can have that kind of unity. We can have that kind of unity. A fresh wind is still blowing. It didn't stop with the day of Pentecost. It didn't stop with the death of the original apostles. It didn't stop when the church went off the rails from time to time through the centuries. It didn't stop because God's plan is unstoppable. His church is still his called out ones. That's what church means. It means that we are called out to be different. We need to still preach the good news. The fresh wind of his Holy Spirit still blows over his church. And the good news needs to be taken to a hurting world. So let's do that, ABC. Let's do that. Holy Spirit, come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that this morning, right now, your fresh wind would blow through your people, that we would take the time, even as we have communion together, as we celebrate your death and resurrection, that a fresh wind would blow through your people. So, Lord, come upon your people. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us and that your good news is good. We bless your name. Bless your name. Amen.